It's a dog's life. Are you spoiling your furry friend to the extreme? Besotted pet owners admit their dog is part of the family, with 6 in 10 Brits saying they see them as one of their children. In fact, new research published has found it takes Brits just 2 months of dog ownership before they can't imagine life without their new four-legged friend. The poll of 2,000 dog owners by Lintbell has revealed around a third allow their pooch to sleep on their bed, while a quarter of puppy-mad Brits have turned down nights with friends because they can't bear to leave their dog at home alone. I'm joined today by Sian Ryan from the BBC Two show Me and My Dog, and Siobhan Griffin, former head vet nurse and Lintbell representative. Sian, why are we so wrapped up now in our dogs' lives?
Oh, big question. Looking at the Lintbell's research, you know, we see them as part of the family. We want to go on holiday with them, take them to the pub, etc. And I think there has been a change in how we view our dogs over the years. But they've certainly very much been part of my family, you know, right from being a child. We're sort of a little bit more open about it these days. We don't feel quite so embarrassed to admit that our dog might sleep on the sofa or our dog might have their own spot next to us, etc. We're able to say, you know, we recognise that our dogs have feelings, have emotions, have needs, and we want them to be part of what we're doing and involved in everything that we do.
I have a guide dog myself, so, you know, there's a real bond in terms of the working side of things, and, you know, when the harness is off, he's part of the family as well. But do you think it's a kind of 21st century thing now that we empathise more with our pets?
I think we certainly understand more that they actually are capable of emotions in the same way that we are. And the more that we do bits of research like this, we learn about when they see us, they can tell the difference between familiar and unfamiliar, and they look, their gaze, they do the same as we do. They look to the left when they're assessing unfamiliar people, I think, and look to the right for familiar. We can now put them in MRI scanners when they're awake. We can teach them to cope with that. And we can give them things which indicate the presence of their owner. And that fires up the same bits of the brain that we associate with love and attachment in our brains. So, you know, we know more about them, we appreciate more. So they are capable of feelings, they're not just sort of automatons, etc. Also, there's an element of we potentially, more of us live on our own, more of us have our family are much further away, we move away from home. So dogs are really great social companionship as well.
Well, Siobhan, you've worked in vets practices, and I mean, I was looking at some of the research, and there's staggering figures here about people who have dogs in the first place and the percentage who take them on holiday, give them that spot in the house, you know, set up social media accounts for them as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me. Like you say, working with animals in my vet nurse history and working for Lintbell's now, I speak to dog owners that 100% feel the same way, that their dog is, you know, a big part of the family. And I think that's really nice. I think it's really important that we're recognising their needs and making sure that they're happy and healthy and that they feel loved.
And are we looking to buy more things for our pets as well, to make them feel even more part of the family? You know, we buy clothes for each other and gifts for birthdays. Are we doing more of that for our dogs?
I think so. One of the stats said owners bought their dogs presents after they come back off holiday, which I thought was really sweet. That might be because they're feeling a bit guilty. I always have to buy my dog a new toy if I take her to the vets. And I celebrate her birthday. I even wrap up her presents on her birthday and at Christmas as well.
I recently moved house, and part of moving house, I actually looked at the area for my dog, not just as a working dog, but, you know, areas for him to play, things that would stimulate him in the area as well, looked at the garden places. And it's amazing when you actually think, do you know what, I actually did things like that.
I think that's really good, and I think that's a really important thing about being a dog owner, is that they are such a massive part of your life, and it's, you know, it's important that they fit in and you're doing as much as you can to make sure that they're happy and comfortable as well.
Sian, we get a lot from our pets, and they get a lot from us. There's a real sort of give and take here, isn't there? You almost feel as if you get a lot from say your dog, and you want to do more for them, and you want to make them feel part of the family. Do you think that's down to things like programs? You know, you're involved with Me and My Dog, and there's so many now that look at canines and our relationships.
I suspect that probably has a lot to do with it, in that, yes, we're kind of more aware of that. And there's research that comes out all the time that talks about how much, you know, dogs benefit our mental health, our physical health. So I think there is an element of just increased awareness. And because of social media as well, we share things a lot more. I know talked about the fact that people have social media accounts for their pets. Two of my dogs have their own social media account. But the reason I said, she says, justifying this horribly, but the reason I set it up was because I didn't want to bore all of my non-dog owning friends with just photos of these two and their relationship on one of my other social media accounts, on my personal Facebook account. So I set up an Instagram account for them so that anyone who wants to can look at the pair of them and the stupid things that they get up to. So there is an element of the more we know, the more that that feeds into how we feel about our pets. And it becomes this cycle of wanting to do more for them and getting a lot out of it as well.
We're even making sure our pets, our dogs, eat healthy, probably better than I do actually, and probably gets better medical care than I do as well. So there's a real financial investment in this.
It is a big financial commitment owning a dog. You have to make sure that they're on a good quality diet, making sure that they're getting the general routine veterinary care they need. My dog definitely gets more supplements than me. I don't take any, whereas my dog Rue, she's on all of Limpbell's products actually, because she's getting on a bit now. I want to make sure that she's comfortable in every way possible.
They seem extremely comfortable going by the research and what we're doing for our dogs now as well. Let's remember, you know, that there is not just a financial investment in here. You have to care for the animal. We have to take responsibility for them as well.
Yeah, definitely. Financially and also time as well. So, you know, making sure that you spend that quality time with your dog, whether that's just having a nice cuddle or making sure they're getting enough exercise. And, you know, that will benefit you as well.
And making sure they're well trained as well, or perhaps even maybe the owners are well trained as well.
One of the things that I've always said and definitely comes across with my clients is that I will, a lot of the time I deal with owners at the start of their journey with their puppies, and it's about shaping the puppies into, or helping them choose the puppies in some cases, but making sure that the puppies become the family pet that they want them to be. So what does that puppy need to learn about to fit in with this family? How can we make that happen? And then the flip side of it is the people that I help whose relationship with their dog has broken down because the dog doesn't fit with their lifestyle, or they haven't been able to teach it the things, or no one's ever helped them before teach it the things that it needs to know in order to be the dog that they want it to be. And in some cases, the dog just isn't ever going to suit their lifestyle, and it's better that it looks for a different home. But it is that kind of responsibility and that understanding and that commitment. But it doesn't feel like a chore if it's the right dog and it's the sort of you've gone into it with having done your research and you're prepared to open your heart up to the dog. If it's the right fit, it's not a chore to go for a walk in the rain. It's pleasure because you're spending time with your dog and it's what they need and want to do.
Fantastic. Well, it certainly is, as we said, a dog's life. Is there anywhere people can get more information in on the research, or, you know, sort of do's and don'ts and best practice for our dogs?
Yeah, definitely. You can go on to limpbells.com. There's lots of information there about our products, but also different articles about how to look after your dog. Or you can give our customer services a call and we're always happy to have a chat.
Well, I'm off to set up a social media account now for Quigley the Guide Dog. For the moment, though, to Siobhan and to Sian, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.